This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. A lot of folk had a lot of hands into this message on today. Or I can't tell you how many times this message has changed on today, but y'all just pray that God would get the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. And it reads, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our subject today, in it to win it. In it to win it. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and worship you on today. Thank you, God, for everyone who's assembled in this place and online. Have your way in us and through us, God, that your will might be done. Speak to us, God, that we, your servants, might hear, but not just be hearers, that we may follow your word and do your will. Bless us now, God, that we can be a blessing unto others. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In it to win it. It's Super Bowl Sunday. So somebody sitting there said, well, what is a Super Bowl? But you never ask. Wikipedia says the Super Bowl is the annual league championship game of the National Football League of the United States. It has served as the final game of every NFL season since 1966, replacing the NFL championship game. A lot goes on and talks about the Super Bowl and what it encompasses, and we know that this year, the Super Bowl is taking place in Las Vegas between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, you know, you hear us talk about paying your tithes and giving an offering. And the reason we say pay a tithe is that's what you owe God. At least 10% of what he's given unto you, we should give that back to him. And then on top of that, there's an offering. And the offering does not have to be less than a tithe. The offering is whatever else you want to give God. And so sometimes we think, boy, that's a whole lot of money. I got to pay 10% of what I make. That's a whole lot of money I got to give. Well, for those of you who just for some reason did not make it to Las Vegas on today, just wanted to know that if you had just decided to go, yeah, it says that as of Wednesday, the average price of tickets sold on StubHub was just per ticket $8,600. And that's down from $9,300 on Monday. So you should have waited till Wednesday to buy your ticket instead of, yeah. Everybody excited. And listen, you are here in worship at First African, and all of you watching, you had a special treat because we have something very similar than what's happening even at the Super Bowl. Right here, yes, at the Super Bowl, yeah. During halftime, yeah. Usher would be there. Yeah. But right here in First African Baptist Church, we got ushers. We got more than one. Yeah, Super Bowl just got one usher. We got plenty. Look at our ushers. Yeah, we got ushers. So we're excited about what's happening. When the season started, almost all of the teams believed that they had a shot at being in the Super Bowl. I mean, all of them believed that they had a shot at being, when I say being in the Super Bowl, I mean being on the field. Yeah, they weren't just thinking about being at the game, but they all dreamed of being on the field playing in the Super Bowl. Many of us as fans cheered throughout the season for our team. We cheered for them to win game after game. Every game, we were just there wanting them to win game after game. And as if we had some real direct influence on the outcome of the game. How many of y'all been shouting at those screens and telling them, you know, what to do? It's a pass. No, cut. Don't shoot. Catch the ball. Intercept. Come on, no. Hit him. Get him. Stop him. How many of us gone through all that through the whole football season, pushing our game? How many of you believe that if you watch the game, your team would win? If you watch the game, your team would win. Well, let me tell you what's worse than that. What's worse than that is the ones who believe that if they didn't watch, their team would win. Now, that's crazy. How you gonna have a team and you pulling for your team to win, but you're not gonna watch because you don't want them to lose? You can't enjoy that. Why pick a team that you can't watch? We get so involved with these teams and invested in their successes and their failures. We get upset if someone don't like the team that I like, or if they talk bad about our team. Yeah, we get real upset. They talk bad about our team. I mean, we take this thing on. You know, that's my team. My team won. My team lost. My team going to the playoffs. My team might make the playoffs. My team going to my team. My team. I just want to pause right here just for 1 second. Let me. I'm going to ask, will all of the NFL team owners please stand? Just anyone who own a NFL team, your team, anybody, no owners? Because I was just going to look, you know, to remind you about the 10% piece. So listen. The way we carry on sometimes is ridiculous, but it's also fun, and sometimes just funny. Some fans get a team and stick with that team. I mean, stick with that team through thick and thin. Win, lose, or draw. Good coach, good quarterback, bad quarterback, good everything. Some folk get a team and just stay with them. Others switch out as the season progresses. Now, admittedly, some of us have to switch if you like football, because when you get to the playoffs, you might as well switch to somebody else to at least watch the rest of the season. But we always have an idea of who might be in a Super Bowl, or at least who we wish would be in a Super Bowl. But listen to this. We talk about this all season. I want my team to be in the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl, in the Super Bowl. But the ultimate goal is not to be in the Super Bowl. It's to win the Super Bowl. Folk got to be in it to win it. The number of teams that made it to the Super Bowl more than once, but have not yet won it. The goal is not only to get to the Super Bowl, but to win it. In it, to win it. But there's one game that's truly super, and we all are in it. We're not just a fan. We're more than a spectator. We're all in the game of life, and there will be a final game. There is a last game of the season, and it's called judgment. You do have an opportunity, however, to choose your team. Matter of fact, to be honest about it, we all started out on the same team. I said we all started the same team. We all were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Yeah, Satan led the team, knowing his team was heading for defeat. But thanks be to God. Because of who God is, and because of his love and his grace and what Jesus did, we have an opportunity to switch teams. Y'all got to hear me today. Yeah. We can switch teams and play on the winning team. Even though hard times might make it seem like we're not winning. Even even though hard times may seem like we're defeated and we can't get to where we know we're going to end up. So seeing that, since we're in the real game of life, let's look at three things relative to being in it to win it. First, be who God wants you to be. Be who God wants you to be. David says in Psalm 139, 13, 14, "For you formed my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." He says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Colossians 1, beginning of verse 21 says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds," that was us, "he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." What does God say about us? Because of what Jesus did, he says we are who we become. We become holy and blameless and above reproach. That's not because we've been so smart. That's not because we've been so good. But it's because of the blood of Jesus that atones for all of our sins, all of our unrighteousness. And I know sometimes it's very hard for us to see ourselves as who God wants us to be. We can see ourselves as holy and blameless and above reproach, not because we've been so good, not because we're so intelligent, not because we look so good, but because of the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We ought to be who God wants us to be. We ought to be those who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We ought to be those who care about who God is in our lives and be exactly who he's called us to be. Holy and blameless, above reproach, because of what Jesus did for us. We ought to be what God wants us to be. Yes, but how do we do that? Well, secondly, when you become who God wants you to become, when you become saved, and listen, it's God's will that none should perish. He wants all of us to be saved. If you're listening, you're hearing, you're online, understand God's desire and what he wants us to be is to be saved. He wants us to acknowledge that we've sinned and come short and that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He wants us to acknowledge all the things that we have done in our lives to free us up so we can have joy. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to understand that he can guard our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus so we can have a peace that anybody else can't understand. He gives us that peace, that joy that only comes from a relationship with knowing him, even though we still go through things in life. That's who he wants us to be. But secondly, not only should we be who God wants us to be, we should do what God wants us to do. For any team you play on, you have to get dressed for it. There's a uniform you wear. You have to be able to identify your team. You got to know who to hit and who to help. You must get dressed. And if you don't get anything else, please get this out of this, because if you get dressed right, you will begin to do right. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 tells us what we need to put on, how we need to get dressed. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones." I'm going to stop right there for a moment. As God's chosen ones. I love this. As God's chosen ones. How many of you remember playing just street ball, football, basketball, whatever else you're playing, and you had to get chosen, you know, and you want to get picked? Now, one thing you could do, when we used to play at Frank Callen Boys Club, what you could do, you sit on the side and you say, "Next." And if you got next, then you choose a team. And sometimes you're standing there and people, you know, looking at you, trying to size you up, you hadn't played before, whatever else, and you're kind of glad that somebody chose you because they thought you could play. You get in the game because they thought you could, you look like you could play. You know, you walked in like, I want him. I want her. But notice this. We've come to Christ and God has chosen us. But God says, I want you on my team. I want you. I need you on my team. I want you. We've been chosen by God through the blood of the Lamb. So because we've been chosen, we got to get dressed. Yeah. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. That's what he called us. We're holy and beloved. Put this on. Compassionate hearts. Have compassion. Kindness. Mm-hmm. Humility. This is what somebody looks like who's dressed for victory. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Patience. And right behind this, it kind of tells you why you need patience. It says patience, bearing with one another. Putting up with each other. Not just folk who don't know the Lord, but folk who know the Lord. Bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. That's what you put, that's how you get dressed. Well, you say, okay, I forgive him. I ain't gonna talk to him no more. I forgive them, but I don't. They don't need to be in my presence. Again, I forgive them, but they bet not say nothing. I think you better. If I go to church, they better sit on the other side. And nothing to say to them. So you say, well, Pastor, well, what are you saying? How to forgive? It's in this text, Colossians 3. Yep, he says, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. But if you're getting dressed, he says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You see, on the team that we're on, we got to get dressed in such a way so others will know that we're on the Lord's side. Jesus says, and they will know you are my disciples by your love. Not necessarily by what you're wearing and by how you're looking and all this stuff, but by your love. God needs us to get dressed, and then he needs us to do what he wants us to do. He needs us to do the work he called us to do for such a time as this. We need to recognize each other. We need to recognize what God has us to do and to do it the way he wants us to do it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. When we say, do what the Lord will have you to do, note this. God has empowered us to do it. Amen. Whatever task you have, God has empowered. God, listen, God is training us each day in life to be better today than we were yesterday. You might say, well, I can't believe God is training me. Whatever you have been through, you've been through that for a reason if you truly love God. If you love God, the word of God tells us that when we love him, he says we don't have to worry. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. I know when we go through things, we don't recognize sometimes that when we're going through the pain that we go through, when we go through the anguish we go through, when we go through all the stuff we go through in life, many times we can't see it, but God is really working in us and working through us so we could be more of what he'd have us to be. We just got to tell the Lord, thank you for just giving us time to keep on living in the midst of our learning. We all are superstars in God's eyes. That's why he allows us to go through what we go through. And it's never about getting bitter when you go through it. It's only about getting better. And if we don't learn the lesson the first time we go through it, we got to keep repeating, going sometimes through the same lesson over and over and over until we finally say, okay, Lord, I get it. I'm going to love better. Lord, I get it. I'm going to forgive. Lord, I get it. I'm going to give like I ought to give. Lord, I got it. I'm going to be more what you'd have me to be, because I've seen in your word, you're constantly letting me go through it, but you, as you go through it, you're constantly with me in the midst of it. God doesn't make us do anything, but he allows us to go through everything. And when you go through it, you got to be able to say, Lord, I thank you. No matter what the situation is, no matter how terrible it may seem in your life, Lord, I thank you. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 12 says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. You will be enriched. You know, we like to talk about getting rich and having more money. But he said you'll be enriched, not just in money. You'll be enriched in every way. No. This is not pastor telling you this. This is God telling you this. When you're clothed and have a desire to do what he wants you to do, he says, the one who supplies seed to the sower and the one who gets bread for food will supply and multiply your seed. He multiplies your seed for the purpose of sowing. Not just multiplying your seeds, you can have, ooh, look how much I have. But he multiplies your seed for sowing and will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. Why will you be enriched in every way? Why will God give you even more? What does God desire from you? I love this because it really helps us. A light will go off if we realize and accept what God is saying to us. The word of God says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. In Bible study, on Thursday, we had opportunity to talk about when the word of God says, he who steals or the thief should stop stealing and work with his own hands. You know, quit stealing and get a job. Quit stealing and start working. Now, when you think about that passage, you would think, yeah, that makes sense. If you're stealing, you must be stealing to take care of your needs. You must be stealing to help your family out. So if that's why you're stealing, the word of God says, quit stealing and start working and doing honest work with your own hands that you may have. Now, clearly you would think, okay, I'm going to quit stealing and work with my own hands so I can take care of my needs. But the word of God says, quit stealing, work with your own hands so you can give to those in need. Wow. It is something about taking care of the needs of others that will help you to be even better. Going back to this passage in 2 Corinthians 9. It said, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Oh, we're talking about, and I'm talking about this all the time, until we all are doing it and get it done, is that in every ministry that we're part of, and a great ministry fair we had on last Sunday, thank God for the ministry fair, and those of you who joined ministries of First African Baptist Church who are partnering with the agencies throughout this city and this county. But we're doing that so we can literally meet needs. And if we're meeting the needs of others, The Lord is saying he'll give us even more so we can meet more needs. And as the needs are being met, thanksgiving will flow to God. Not thanksgiving will flow to First Africa. Not that thanksgiving will flow to Tillman. But thanksgiving will flow to God because it's God who supplies all of our needs. If we just do what the Lord would have us do. If we would just be who God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. I'm telling you. We're on the winning team, but there are things that we have to do. In a team you're on, you got to do your part. That's why we've done spiritual gifts inventory of all of us to find out what our gifts are and then how we can apply those gifts to doing things to help others. And the main thing we're doing is to edifying or build up the body of Christ. And that means others will join, but it also means those of us who know Christ will be strengthened and we will grow individually. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody in here besides me who needs to be better than you are right now? Yeah. Hallelujah. And God has empowered us to be better through the Holy Spirit, and he's gifted us to use the gifts he's given us to do the work he wants us to do. Just do what the Lord wants us to do. I'm done. If we would be who God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do, thirdly, you will have what God wants you to have. Woo! I'm done. What does God want you to have? God wants you to have the victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. God wants you to have the victory. Listen. 1 Corinthians 15. 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Romans 8:38 says this about us. It says, we are more, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. God got so much more going on in us and through us than even you can imagine. Sometimes when you look defeated, somebody is watching you. They're watching you. They're listening to you. Always be mindful of when it seems like you're down. Also be mindful to look to the hills from which cometh your help, because all of our help comes from the Lord. Let folk know your help is found in Christ. Romans 8, I just want to read 35 through 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and you got to understand, when you're going through stuff, that cannot separate you from God. Can distress or persecution, or not having food, being hungry, or being naked, or being dangerous, or so. Can any of that separate you? No, that will not separate you from the love of God. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, the Bible says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does God has for us? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. You can't even imagine what God has for you. You can't even imagine what the victory is. It's more than the Vince Lombardi trophy. God has something for you that's greater. It's more than just a ring. It's more than 5 or 10 rings. It's more than you can imagine. And listen, whatever God has for you, you know it is for you. But look at this. It's not just for you now. It's for you forevermore. Because when God blesses us, he blesses us throughout eternity. And eternity is a long, long, long time. God is blessing us and preparing us for what will come. That's why we get dressed the way God wants us to get dressed. That's why we want to be who God wants us to be. That's why we want to do what God wants us to do. Because we know when it's all over down here, God will reward us himself with the things he has prepared for you and for me. What a mighty God we serve. In all of your work and everything you're doing, don't quit. Yeah, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up on the team. Don't give up on life. Don't give up on what God has prepared you for. Don't quit. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Don't get tired of everybody else around. I'm tired of these church folk. I'm tired of these folk at this church. I'm tired of these folk call themselves Christians. I'm tired of the folk in this world. I'm tired of folk who are always begging. I'm tired of hungry folk. I'm tired of naked folk. I'm tired of tall folk. I'm tired. No, quit getting tired of folk. Go ahead and love like God wants you to love. Go ahead and get dressed with everything God needs you to get dressed with. Go ahead and show that you're on the right team, on the team that will make it into everlasting life. He tells us over and over again, his word is clear to us that we have victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know somebody's saying, well, how do I get this victory? I hadn't really worked that hard. I've sinned. I've come short. I've messed up. I haven't done all the things I need to do. I haven't said all the things I need to say. That's the wonderful thing about it. We get on the team because of what somebody else did. But what did somebody else do? I'm glad you asked. Somebody else came through 42 generations. Came to this earth and went about doing good. We're studying more about what Jesus did as he walked and taught and lived on this earth. We're studying about how God loved us so much that Jesus came in flesh so he would know exactly the things that we go through, the temptations we have, the trials we have, the tribulations we have. He knows what we're going through, but he did it for you and for me, but he walked in a perfect manner as he walked on this earth. He had to walk in a perfect manner because he knew he became the lamb that would take away the sins of the world. He had to be a lamb without blemish. He had to be a lamb without spots. So he was the one who took on all of our sins. Can you see our Lord and Savior when they arrested him and accused him? Can you see our Lord and Savior when they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall and they whipped him all night long? Can you see our Lord and Savior who was giving up his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly? Can you see him when they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head? Can you see him as he hung on the cross dying for you and dying for me? Can you see him as the blood ran from his veins? Can you see him as he's just hanging there saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Can you see him while he's hanging there and he's saying, this day you will be with me in paradise? Can you see him as he's hanging there on the cross with blood just dripping from him as he says, it is finished? Well, what is finished? The price being paid for all of our sins is finished. It is finished. He's paid the price. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One song says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. The Bible says he died. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night, but early. On that Sunday morning, our Lord and Savior got up from the ground. He got up from power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us. It's the Holy Spirit who will guide us. It's the Holy Spirit that will help us to be what the Lord wants us to be. It's the Holy Spirit that will guide us and help us to do what the Lord wants us to do. It's the Holy Spirit that will keep us and sustain us and bring back to our remembrance the things we ought to do, or how great God is. How great is our God? How faithful is our God? It's the Holy Spirit working in us and guiding us. God has given us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We could go ahead and run into the end zone, and we could do the touchdown dance. We could do the victory because of what the Lord has done. We could say, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, because victory is mine. I know that joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, because joy and happiness is mine. Oh, happiness is mine. I told Satan to get behind, because happiness is mine. When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. I fell on my knees, said, Lord, help me please. Got up singing and shouting, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. How many of you can go and run into the end zone and do that dance and say, yes, yes, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I know the Lord has made a way for me. I've got the joy. I've got the peace. I got everything I need that the Lord has supplied. I love the Lord, and I'm not going to take it back. He's been good. He's been great. Come on with me. We in the end zone. We on our way. We got to tell the Lord, thank you. We got to tell the Lord, thank you. What you going to do when you get to the end zone? You're going to take a selfie and say, look at me. Look at what the Lord has done. I got to tell the Lord, thank you. He's worthy. He's worthy. Victory. Victory. We're in it to win it. Give God the praise. We're in it to win it. Give God the victory. We're in it to win it. It's already done. We've already won. We're on the winning team. Lord, I thank you. What you gonna do when it's all over? Can't you just see yourself when it's all over down here? You've done all the labor you could do, and God has called you home. I'm just wondering what you gonna do when you pass the pearly gates and you get inside. Are you gonna just run? Are you gonna jump? Are you gonna shout hallelujah? Are you gonna say, Lord, I'm so grateful. You brought me from a mighty long way. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you. This is the best game. I'm so glad that in the final game, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me. And they said, when did we do that? He said, inasmuch as you've done it to the others who are all around you, inasmuch you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So come on up. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've got the victory. You've got the victory. You've got the victory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, what a mighty God. Woo! Thank you, Lord. You talking about a Super Bowl. You talking about a grand time when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. To God be the glory. If you're here today, if you're online today and you're saying, I need to join the winning team. The team I'm on has bringing me hardship. The team I've been on is bringing me trouble and distress. The team I've been on is making me depressed. But I want to get on the winning team. I want to get on a team where there's joy. I want to get on a team where there's peace. I want to get on a team where there's love. Right now, we are recruiting. Right now, you can join the team. Right now, we're ready for you. Right now, you can receive your bonus by joining the team on today. If you're here in this building, if you're online, if you want to accept him, all you have to understand is, Lord, I've sinned. I've messed up. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. The Bible says, if you shall confess in your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, the word of God says, you shall be saved. That means you shall be on the winning team. I'm going to pray a prayer. And this is a prayer that you want to pray. If you haven't accepted Christ, but you want to accept Christ, we're going to pray a prayer. If you're online, we're going to pray this prayer with you. That if you accept Christ, if you believe that Jesus died, rose from the grave, and you want to follow him, pray this prayer to be a part of his team today. You can say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in the building, if you're online, and you want to accept Christ today, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. If you're here today, you've already accepted Christ, do not have a church home, we invite you to come and unite in fellowship with First African Baptist Church. If you're online, we invite you to type the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, and we'll get in touch with you. Won't you come today? Won't you come? Hallelujah. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for caring for us. God, we pray right now that you will be with all of our guests. Give them safe passage back to their homes and place of abode. Be with all of us, God, that we will seek to do your will, your way. We thank you, God. We know that because of who you are, we are in it to win it. So, God, help us to get to that final line, to get to the final judgment, to hear your voice say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.